Hey folks, it is Wednesday, September the 16th. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're listening to The Show So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Let's go the other way. Let's do it the other way. You're listening to This Show Is So Gay.
And I'm Becca. Or you're Becca. Why are you looking at me like that?
I just wanted you to go first. I'm in the mood to switch things up.
Becca,
Ken.
Yeah.
There we go. That was good.
Or something.
I just feel like everything's in a tizzy. Everything's in a tizzy right now because
really? Were there news stories? Because I looked.
Well, one of the reasons that you couldn't find some of the news stories is that one of our faithful sites, gay.com/news, gone.
Whew.
It's gone. There was no announcement. I don't know where it went. Completely disappeared. And I'm okay with it, though. Because it was kind of a... I complained about it a lot. So gay.com/news. And maybe it's just down right now and it's going to come back and I will have trash talked it and then it'll come back and I'll have to use it again. But if you go to gay.com/news, not now because it's not working, and then you click on Hot Topics. So
it's all gone.
Well, yes. The news part had a couple stories that were mostly usually on advocate.com or whatnot. But then you clicked on Hot Topics and every now and then there would be something useful. Remember when we would talk about can gay men and lesbians get along or just kind of these somewhat human interest stories. But now they're into can gay men fix a car? Do you look gay?
Can you fix a car?
That's not really the point of the story. I do that with my hand, and you'll just have to picture what I just did with my... I can't fix a car. Can you... You can fix a tire.
I can... Yeah, I could fix a tire.
What else can you do?
Well, I can't, like, fix a tire, but I can change a tire.
You can change a tire. See how I didn't even get the lingo right for the car
fixing? I don't know. I guess if I had some chewing gum, I could fix a tire. I'm pretty sure that wouldn't work, but...
So you can change a tire. You can check the oil.
I can check the oil. I can't change the oil on this car. And apparently I can't change the headlight because I tried. And
now here's the big question.
I looked in the user manual to see if there was a trick to it. And it's like, the light bulb could explode and kill you. Do not try this. Changing light bulbs in cars is not as easy as it used to be. Bring this to a service center. And so I'm staying there with the new light bulb in my hand going,
you guys do this for me.
It's going to kill me.
Can you drive stick?
I can.
I can't.
Really?
I have no interest in learning.
Have you had coffee yet?
No, I still have never tasted coffee in my life. Wait, but I have no... So this is one of those things that annoys Andrew so much that I refuse. I refuse. I categorically refuse. And I don't know if you've ever met me before, Becca, but I'm a little bit stubborn sometimes every now and then. I know.
No
I
way.
I was shocked too. And so he really wants me to learn how to drive stick and I just categorically refuse. Because I
why?
Feel... You know, I'll tell you why and I've thought a lot about this. I feel that I know enough things and I don't need to necessarily learn anymore.
But what if
that's how I feel? I've given this a lot of thought. I know all of these things and that would be another thing and I don't know that I have room for any more things to learn.
What if you hit a moose, killed your car, and some friendly guy pulled over to help you in his car? That happened to me, Emmanuel. And then he fell off a cliff. And your only way to go get help was to drive stick.
You had me at moose. I'm still
know.
So upset about hitting
well,
the moose.
What if there was some kind of emergency where you needed to drive? This is how I got
the
suckered
moose
into learning.
Know how to drive stick? I hit a moose?
I'm sorry.
It's very upsetting.
Well, I was thinking your car wouldn't exactly get like smushed by a duck or something, you know, like my car.
My mammoth SUV would just, dad could take a moose, but I don't want to. Wait, so I should, wait, let's get
back
to
the story. Or I'll plan it.
So gay.com/news is gone. And have you looked at some of the other gay news sites? Because I don't really like them.
Well, usually they're more like, this guy in underwear was on this show and.
Exactly. So
his boyfriend broke up with him.
So. I'm at queerty.com. I'm looking at it on the screen right now. I just find it's extraordinarily difficult to follow stories. It's all about the most recent posts and, hey, can this thruple, can this thruple find happiness or is a three-way relationship doomed? I've never heard the word thruple. So that's queerty.com, and I find it's really difficult to read through and find stuff, but not nearly as much as tollroad.com, which I also find really difficult. And they're great sites, and they have fantastic articles on them. I just have a really difficult time. Maybe it's just the way my mind works around the gay news.
There's the survey says guys with bigger packages live better, happier lives.
Well, that's just true, don't you think?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it all that much, but this is our news. Like, come on, guys.
Hey, you want to feel
going on with politics?
You want to feel better about your life?
Not that politics are a lot better. Anyway, yes, well, I do want to feel better about my life.
Let's feel better about our lives, because you know where we don't live? Indonesia.
Oh, wow. No, we don't. We live in Vermont.
Because if we did, we would know that lawmakers in a devoutly Muslim Indonesian province voted unanimously today that adulterers can be sentenced to death by stoning just months after voters overwhelmingly chose to throw conservative Islamic parties out of power. With only weeks to go before a new government led by a moderate party takes over, hardliner still in control of the regional parliament, pushed through legislation Monday to impose steep punishments for adultery and homosexuality. It's a gay story, folks. I'm not just talking about Indonesia. The chairman of the 69-seat House asked if the bill could be passed into law, and members answered in unison, yes, it can. So we don't live in Indonesia. We're not getting stoned. Becca,
I've
been throwing rocks at us and dying. Not the other illicit thing that you were thinking.
That's not what I was thinking at all.
Becca, I need you to focus. I need you to focus on the gay stories.
Focusing.
We have...
I'm not getting distracted by a headline saying Nicole Kidman's new transgender gig leaves no controversial role unturned.
Oh, good for Nicole Kidman. What's her transgender gig?
She's playing a semi-fictional version of something that I can't read without my glasses.
Okay. So props to Nicole Kidman playing a transgender role and thus raising awareness.
And we'll find out more, I'm sure.
We'll find out more. Did you see Trans America?
I did.
I love that movie.
Me too.
I was just thinking about that the other day, and I was hoping that she had won an Oscar. I remember thinking that at the time. I don't still hope that, because it's over and it was a few years ago. And if she still wins the Oscar for that movie, it'd be an incredible change of rules for the Oscars. But I remember that Felicity Huffman, wasn't it? Yeah. Lost to Reese Witherspoon. And I thought that Trans America was just an amazing movie, and Reese Witherspoon wasn't that good. Anyway, we have an amazing show for you tonight. We have a very, very special guest who we will be calling a little later. I know sometimes we worry about them calling us.
We are calling them.
We are calling them. And she has some great music, and we are going to cue up some of that music right this very second. You ready?
Excellent. I am ready.
Okay.
Make you sterile still in a room. myself by getting drunk and falling down in the street.
Great song.
Indeed, there was a little profanity, I think.
There was a little cuss word.
We didn't catch that, but oops, I'm sorry, everybody.
And we're sorry, and we hope that it provided you an opportunity to talk about profanity with your children, if you and your children are listening.
That's right. It's just another service we provide.
So, we are both sorry, and you're welcome for providing that opportunity. You know, I'd also like to take this moment to apologize to Stephanie Levinson.
And why would you be apologizing?
Stephanie Levinson, I'm very sorry. Let's chat soon. So let's just put that out there.
And when we were off the air, he said he totally wasn't sorry.
No, I really don't say that.
Just
you're
going
to get me in trouble. No, I'm really sorry. And Stephanie Levinson, know that I'm saying I'm sorry on a national podcast that quite a few thousand people listen to. So hopefully that makes up for it. Anyway, Barney Frank is not on board with the new DOMA bill. So if you don't know, there was a bill that was introduced into Congress to challenge DOMA. And
well, I think he's on board with the spirit of it.
He is on board with the spirit of it. I actually think that was his quote. But he is not on board with this particular bill. And let me read a little bit from this article. A bill seeking to repeal the Federal Defense of Marriage Act was introduced, but this top priority for the community is already relegated to a legislative obscurity and inaction for this session and perhaps beyond, says U.S. Representative Barney Frank. A bill which was introduced by U.S. Rep. Gerald Nadler, who is a longtime supporter of equal rights, and we should get him. We should get him on the show. Let's try to get him on the show. Has essentially no chance for a hearing or vote during this session of Congress, according to Frank. It is the last of 8 bills of specific interest to the LGBT community to be introduced to this session of Congress, which is nearing the end of the first of its 2 years. And Frank, who is the de facto leader on LGBT-related measures in Congress, says 4 other bills come first. And this was his quote. Quote, we have pending 4 major pieces of LGBT legislation which have a serious chance to pass. Those he noted are the Matthew Shepard hate crimes bill. Yay.
Yay.
Good. Attached to a bill authorizing defense spending. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
Yay.
There you go. A bill to give equal benefits to partners of gay federal employees. As provided straight spouses, and a bill to repeal the military's don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yay!
Although I must say, that was 3, so I don't know what the... Oh, sorry, yay. Those were 2 different things. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Remember how I said there would be no editing to do? I'm going to leave it in. We're going with an unedited show tonight.
That's right, everyone. Ken usually edits all of our mistakes out of the
podcast. We're going
podcast,
unedited. So the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and a bill to give equal benefits to the partners of gay federal employees as provided to straight spouses, those are 2 different bills. So the Nadler bill, says Frank, quote, has zero chance of passage, even out of committee. It's a mistake.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, it gets into that whole thing where I guess apparently you can have too much LGBT legislation. I don't agree with that. Can we disagree with Barney Frank? He's going to be on the show later tonight. I think he's calling in right, you know, at 10:05, right after we leave the studio for...
I'm sure he's listening.
...the show that's on next.
Or he's with us in spirit.
I was going to say the name of, and then I just blanked out on the show that's on next. You just gave a look where you don't know either. I hope people listen to the show that's on next, because it's brilliant. But yes, Barney Frank says there's too much gay legislation. I thought that there was supposed to be no such thing as too much gay legislation.
This is going to drive me crazy now.
Go grab a program guide. So just so folks know, this is usually the kind of stuff that I edit out, but I'm not going to. So what's happened right now is that Becca has left her chair. She's run over to get a program guide so she can say...
The Dreamland Drive-By. Oh, I knew it was DJ Rip Van Winkle. I just didn't know what his show was actually called.
So people should listen to that. Don't just listen to our podcast, people. You need to tune in live, hear the things that don't make the podcast, and listen to other shows here on WVEWLP 107.7 FM. All right, so I'm going to play a song, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, and our guest requested it, and it made me very happy. You ready?
Yay!
This is going to be very corny.
Oh, that wasn't one of those ones where I was supposed to say, yay, okay.
Well, let me play the first couple notes of it, and let's see what you say. So I'm going to keep us on the air. We're trying all new things tonight. You ready? Here we go.
Oh, you're just... Yay!
Do you even know what it is?
I do.
And it's still yay, right?
Sure.
All right, folks, enjoy.
Just to please you, yes.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. And no message could have been any clever. If you wanna make the world
was going to cut that off early, but I couldn't bring myself to cut that off early. We had our arms in the air. We were waving back and forth. By we,
Ken was
singing. Ken.
I know. I've been chatting with some of our regular listeners about your singing.
It's very enjoyable, singing.
They want me to post the video of you dancing or singing or something.
No, we are not doing that. We're going to welcome a guest instead. Amy Bally. It has been called, quote, I am quoting here, Amy, one of the most successful gay activists of the 21st century. Amy.
Yeah.
One of the most successful gay activists of the 21st century. How do you feel about that?
That just builds my ego.
Good. Well, we have even more than that. I just wanted to stop right there for a second. She is responsible for starting Join the Impact, that organization in response to the passage of Proposition 8 in California during the 2008 U.S. elections, which seems like a really long time ago and really wasn't. Join the Impact has organized the National Day of Protest, which took place in over 400 cities, Day Without a Gay, Light Up the Night for Equality, the National LGBT Food Drive for Equality, so many more things. She was recently named to the Advocates Our Favorite List currently, the 40 Under 40 most influential out folks out there. Amy Balliott, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Thanks for having me.
Amy,
that is quite the intro.
Amy, one of the most successful gay activists of the 21st century.
Wow, that's a phenomenal compliment. You know, it's kind of funny. I always get the compliments for Join the Impact, and Willow Witty, the co-founder of Join the Impact, is the one who deserves all the compliments.
So,
she's just phenomenal.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because when you read the articles, there every now and then in an article it will mention Willow, but then there are tons of articles that don't mention Willow. So how does that coverage happen?
Well, early on in the beginning, we kind of decided that I was going to be the voice mm-hmm. for Join the Impact, but Willow's the heart. I mean, she's what keeps the blood pumping. Willow Witty's the co-founder of Join the Impact, and that girl has given her life to Join the Impact.
All right.
Quit her job a week into launching Join the Impact, has not had a job since. Instead, she works 80 hours a week on Join the Impact, on getting all these events to happen. She does all of it for free because Join the Impact does not raise money. So she's been working 80 hours for a week and couch surfing just to make sure that Join the Impact gets the attention
it deserves. Wow. You know who else is one of the most successful gay activists of the 21st century? Willow.
Exactly.
That's what we are putting that out there. Willow, one of the most successful gay activists. Amy, how's it going out there?
Oh, it's going great.
What's the climate like on that other side of the country?
You know, of course it's raining. And yesterday, if you would have called me yesterday, it was 80 degrees.
Ooh, nice.
But today, it's cold and rainy.
It's cold and rainy over there. And tell everybody where you are in case they don't know.
Oh, Seattle, Washington, where it's expected to be cold and rainy.
It's just kind of the baseline for Seattle. And what's from what we hear over here in our secluded little Vermont, we hear that Seattle is quite the gay-friendly place. What's the political climate there?
Seattle is incredibly gay-friendly. I mean, honestly, when I moved out here, the activist in me kind of lay dormant for a while because there was nothing to act out against. Everybody is very accepting in Seattle. Now, in the state of Washington, while there are very accepting people throughout the entire state, there are pockets where it's a little rough waters.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in Washington, we're fighting right now to keep our domestic partnership rights.
I read about that.
Yeah,
a group decided to put a referendum on the ballot to try to take away the expansion of our rights. And they did it in a way where if you vote no, you're actually voting to take away our rights.
Oh.
And so you have to vote yes.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's one of those.
We're trying to get as many people as possible to vote yes to approve Referendum 71. So if anybody who's listening knows anybody in Seattle or in Washington, tell your friends, approve Referendum 71.
There you go. We have quite the listener base in the Washington area. So, folks, yes on 71. Do you know what number 70 is?
I have no clue.
Okay, I just think it's good to know what's on the either side of our referendum, just to know what else is going on there. So, but 71, focus in on that, folks. You want to vote yes, as in good, as in gay rights. There you go.
Exactly.
Can we talk to you about some news that's out there right now and get your take on today's news?
Yeah, definitely.
So one of the big stories that was out there today was a California man who has moved to ban divorce. Did you read about this one?
I have not.
So John Marcotte, the editor of a website called badmouth.net, is collecting signatures to pass the California Protection of Marriage Act. He's doing it, he says, to mock the proponents of Proposition 8. He told CNN this act is the logical extension of Proposition 8. His website further mocks the sanctity of marriage argument anti-gay operatives have employed to oppose equality with his own campaign slogans, including, this is one of his slogans, folks, Jesus still loves you if you get divorced, just not as much as before. So, what do we think? So, Amy, well, there's so many. This seems a little bit more mocking. Of course, I'm sure it'll actually get on a ballot somewhere. So, he wants to ban divorce, and you have tons of groups that want to ban marriage, and then you have tons of groups in California that want to completely get rid of the proposition system.
Mm-hmm.
What's the way to go on all this? How do we move forward?
Well, you know, in my opinion, everybody always tries something like this tactic. It's more of a tactic to get people to stop and think. I don't think that it will ever actually get on the ballot.
Right.
In Washington, when the Washington Supreme Court said no to gay marriage, their argument was that marriage was only for procreation. So somebody tried to launch a proposition to say that if a married couple has not had children within 5 years, they have to get a divorce.
Oh, okay.
And it was the same type of mockery. It gets a lot of press for a couple of weeks, but then it dies down. And so the real solution is education. It's always been education, in my opinion. The proposition system works in some ways. It's broken in others.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is we have to just deal with the fact that, yes, we have a broken system. What can we do to work within that broken system? And what we can do is better educate those who are going to go out and vote and help them understand what we're going through. And in the whole Proposition 8 era and something that we're trying to fix here in Washington with Referendum 71, which mm-hmm. we're still kind of strategizing on, you know, what did not happen was certain areas just weren't considered.
Right.
People just figured, we've already lost the battle here, so we're not even going to try. And that defeatist attitude is what we need to fix.
We need to get out there and educate.
You think that's what, hurt us.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take that. We'll take that. All right. And then the other big California story is the big debate, Amy, between 2010 and 2012. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, and one of our listeners in California, John, wrote us a lovely message on Facebook about how he was up till 4 a.m. just thinking about what this huge argument between 2010 and 2012. And we had said, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they should wait until 2012 so that all their ducks in a row. But I think we grossly mischaracterized the argument. What about this debate between those who say, let's go ahead in 2010, any motion that we have is good motion because we'll be doing education, and those who say, no, 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 if we lose again, it's really, really bad, so let's wait until 2012.
Honestly, in my opinion, what's important first is the rights.
Right.
So the first thing we need to say is, are the rights there and are they acknowledged? Will they only be acknowledged if we have marriage? And if that's so, then we have to get marriage as soon as humanly possible. In my opinion, there's a lot of people out there right now who are just in need of the rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the word marriage, the social acceptance that comes with marriage, is definitely an extra set of protection. But if fighting for marriage first hinders the chance at getting the rights, then we have to get the rights first. And
okay.
That's just the way I work. But I totally understand all of the other arguments. Now, when it comes to California, pretty much the rights are there, but there's the social acceptance issue where, you know, there's couples in California where they have all the domestic partnership paperwork, but they're not treated equally anyway. There was an instance during Meet in the Middle in Fresno where a lesbian couple, one of the partners had an had a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And the other partner was not treated as her wife or as her partner or anything like that by the hospital.
Right.
She was treated as a perfect stranger, even though her domestic partnership rights say that she should be treated as a partner to that person. And so clearly, not having the word marriage means that there's also a huge loss of social acceptance. And so because of that, I think that we need to take the mobilization of the base that we have right now and just push it as far as we can go for 2010.
There you go.
Because the faster we can get social acceptance, that the faster that happens, the faster those rights that are legally there will actually be met.
That whole, the hospital example is used all the time, and it's so, in some ways, helpful just to hear it even relayed and hear these stories, because there's a degree to which it's so inconceivable to me. And I guess that's maybe I've chosen places to live where that is just not possible.
It is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it absolutely would be.
My mom's a nurse, and she actually tells me stories all the time about how there's no requirements to be accepting at, where she works. And it's actually gotten to a point where the nurses are getting sensitivity training just so that they can react better when gay couples come in. But there's no law holding them to treating somebody equally.
Right.
And there is a law, it's not going to get enforced while you're at work.
I'm having my moment, which I feel like every couple months of just sitting here and thinking and listening and thinking about rights and just opening my eyes and saying, oh, just give us the freaking rights. Are you kidding me? Like, there really needs to be sensitivity training to deal with me and my partner. I'm just having that moment of, oh gosh, that's right. I'm part of that community that apparently people need sensitivity training to work with.
I'm pretty sure that's why they call us an oppressed minority,
yes,
Ken.
That might be it. That might be it. All right, Amy, speaking of inspire us, how do you stay motivated? Because you see quite a bit and you see the frustrations.
How do you not burn out completely?
Tell us how to not burn out, Amy.
Oh, geez. I have burnout.
No, you haven't.
Okay, well, again, I'll come back to Willow Witty. She's the heart of anything related to Join the Impact. And when she sees somebody burning out, I don't know what it is that she does, but she can talk somebody off a cliff really fast.
Okay.
And so, again, she doesn't get the credit she's due. For me personally, I've tried to not be an activist. I've had, moments of total cynicism where I'm like, I can't do this. I just need to stop. And then I hear somebody say something that just drives me insane, and I have to speak up. And so the activist can't lay dormant for too long. It's kind of I have to stick my nose in so much business, it's insane.
Nice.
And so it's just kind of in my nature.
So how do you stay motivated then? Are you just these issues come up and you say, I have to say something?
It's mainly, and I have to say something, when it comes to what I'm fighting for right now, it really just has to do with my relationship. I mean, I'm married. I'm in love. I have, a dog and a cat that I consider my family.
Nice.
We don't have kids yet, but I was about to say I have a family, so I had to bring the dog and the cat in.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, I mean, we're gonna one day grow a family. And right now, we are a family, just the two of us, and we're treated like strangers under the law. And it's this thing where, everybody I love loves us and views us as a married couple. I'm one of the few lucky people to have that.
Yeah.
And so I try not to ever think of myself as a victim or look for direct actions against me. But in everyday things like, going over my taxes or paying my health insurance costs. All those everyday things, I see where my wife is considered my stranger, or considered a stranger instead of considered my wife.
Right.
And that's what motivates me,
right,
knowing that I want her to stay safe, and I want us to stay safe.
What I hear you saying then is, as our guest Scott Friedman said months ago, we should just stop paying taxes, right? That's what I hear you saying.
I would love to. I think all of us would love to stop paying taxes. I do think that it is a horrible, horrible thing. For lack of a better word, I worked all day today, so clearly my lexicon just stinks right now.
We're there with you, Amy.
I think it's just a gross inaccuracy on our government's part to say, here, you guys are going to pay taxes, but we're not going to look at you as equal citizens.
Right.
We had a whole second-class citizen debate when we did Light Up the Night for Equal Rights, where a bunch of people came to The Impact, which is the social network that we use on Wet Paint.
Uh-huh.
And we all started debating, do we want to say second-class citizens? Because a lot of people said, I am not a second-class citizen. I don't consider myself a second-class citizen. The government might consider me that, but I refuse to be considered that. And so it's this real kind of odd line to tread. I consider myself to be a second-class citizen in the eyes of the government. And that right there is just BS.
Totally.
But, you know,
this is no second-class radio show, folks. This is not a second-class radio
third,
show.
Third, maybe fourth class.
Hey, no. We're going for first class. And let me ask you, last question, and then we got to talk about your music, and we have a lot to talk about with your music, Amy.
Sure do.
How is your frustration level or joy level with the current presidential administration?
You know, I actually love Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I love Barack Obama so much it's crazy.
Yay.
I think he's such a diplomatic man. And I was raised by a very diplomatic father who you know, taught me the power of hearing everybody's side of the story and taking a long time to consider that before making a choice. I think that there are a lot of people who are angry that Obama has not acted as fast as they would want, but what we have to understand is that, A, he's thinking on an 8-year term level. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's thinking, I'm going to go 2 terms. He's not thinking, what can I accomplish in 4 terms? He's thinking, what can I do in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking, what can I do in this first term that will get me reelected so that in my second term I can make a whole lot of change? In my opinion, that's what he's thinking.
Because we're only in the 9th month, folks.
Exactly. He came into a complete and total mess. And we're expecting him to have all of the issues of America solved in 9 months. I mean, he needs to fix a failing economy, and that should be his number one priority because that affects every single citizen in this country, whether they be the ones who aren't considered first class or not. You know, like, he needs to focus on so many things, and I think our rights are extremely important. They're extremely important to me. They're extremely important to all the listeners, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Are they important to him right now? I don't know. Am I angry at him for that? Yes. But at the same time, am I disappointed in him for that? I don't know. Because he's doing the job he was hired to do. And you have to make hard decisions, and you have to consider what's going to benefit the whole before figuring out what's going to benefit various groups.
Although, can we just say for the record, you know who could fix everything in 9 months?
Ken.
No, Willow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Willow could fix
exactly.
It. 9 months, Willow's like, I have 3 months to just go play now, and then I'll do another couple years. All right, we got to talk about
nice.
Your music, Amy. We will not grill you on all of it, but this is the part of the show where you tell our listening audience what your songs say about you.
What does Man in the Mirror say
about you? Oh, we're going right. Becca's
you.
Jumping
I'm
right in.
I'm just going right for
Man
it.
In the Mirror about Amy
Man
Balliet.
In the Mirror. Well, you know, got to throw in the Michael Jackson.
Absolutely.
A is just a tribute to him, but B, so my sister loves Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And she loves Michael Jackson so much that when he was on trial, all she did was write "Free Michael" all over every T-shirt she had.
Oh.
And, I mean, this girl is 2 years older than me.
What's her name? We got to give her a shout out.
Her name's Laura.
Laura. Laura. There you go.
And so, you know, she's my older sister. I've always looked up to her. "Man in the Mirror" is totally her song, and she sings it all the time. It's like she has different versions of it for every ringtone.
Laura.
Is she going to be humiliated that you've said that on the air, or?
She'd be ecstatic that I said this on the air.
Nice.
Okay.
She's very proud of her Michael obsession.
I wasn't sure if you were outing her, you know?
Oh, no, no, not at all. She loves Michael Jackson so much, it's insane. And so I started to like Man in the Mirror because, you know, I live 3,000 miles away from my sister, and it reminds me of her because she just sings it all the time. And have to play it all the time.
We love so this story.
That's pretty cute.
That's a good one. That was a good one. Because that was a good one, we're only going to make you do one more. Because normally it's
awesome.
see how the guest is excited about not having to do more than one. All right. And now this one.
You can quiz me on all of them.
Okay.
What's the next one?
We'll do two more. How about now, some of your songs, I actually just don't know them at all, so I'm excited to play them. The song that will play you out in a few minutes, "I've Got Your Number" by Passion Pit, which I've never even heard of Passion Pit.
You see, okay, so in Seattle, we have a radio station called KEXP.
Okay.
You know, not to plug another radio station.
No, it's okay.
If anybody wants to listen to them on the web, it's kexp.org. My wife's sister is a DJ there, so I
lovely.
So KEXP is a station that, you know, discovered Modest Mouse, discovered Nirvana. They discovered Dashboard Confessionals and you know, just Death Cab for Cutie, all of that. So Passion Pit is a band that I just recently got into, maybe, you know, in the past 3 weeks.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of one of those people who I can't pick, like, ultimate favorite songs. So I was going with, what am I listening to right now that I just have to hear every single day?
Nice.
And so that's one of those songs where it's just, it's got a great beat to it. It's kind of a little 80s, but it's also Passion Pit. I kind of feel like they've got some 80s funk to them, and then they've also got some of the whole Postal Service aspect to them. And so I really like what they bring to the table. And actually, on my birthday in a couple of weeks, National Coming Out Day, October 11th.
No way.
Great birthday.
Yeah, I was totally born on the gay day.
You told it that you had no choice but to do what you're doing.
Exactly.
I know.
So yeah, on my birthday, they'll actually be in town, so I'm going to go see them. So I had to give a good Passion Pit plug.
Well, wait, now I got to ask another question, though. So you are not going to the Washington, D.C. march?
I cannot because my cousin's getting married that weekend.
All right.
So, when I heard about the date, I was like, "You gotta be kidding me!" Because my cousin's one of my best friends. Like, all of my cousins are really close. We're all really close, and so.
Yeah, but I bet Laura's going to be at the wedding.
She is.
So there you go. Yeah. That's enough. That's enough for our listening audience. That's okay. We're okay with that. And then your last one, which now this is fascinating to me because I'm excited to hear what you think it says about you, given that I will out you right now. And Amy told me through email that this is one of her most played songs, but she's not sure it's one of her favorite songs. So let's figure out why it's one of her most played songs by Modest Mouse, "Missed the Boat." What does that say about one of the best activists in the 21st century, Amy Balliot?
Well, I don't know what it says about me too much. It's a fun song.
There you go.
When I first moved to Seattle, that was the first time I ever started listening to Modest Mouse.
Okay.
And in my opinion, Modest Mouse is a very hit or miss band. I think that their songs that really hit the you know, the top of the charts, those are the songs that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Their other songs seem so experimental to me, and sometimes really hurt my ears.
Okay.
And so because of my hit-or-miss aspect with the band itself, I couldn't pick the song as my ultimate favorite song, as one of my top four favorites. It's one that I really like right now, but you know, unlike Passion Pit, where I can listen to the entire CD and like every song on the CD, I can only like one or two songs on a Modest Mouse CD.
So what I hear you saying, Amy, is that you, Amy Balliot, pick your battles.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
See how I'm just attaching meaning. I'm just going to keep attaching meaning.
He's just making things
up. I'm making things up. Amy Balliot, where can folks learn more about you and Willow and all the great work that you're doing?
You know, jointheimpact.com and or if you want to type in jointheimpact.org, they all go to the exact same website.
Nice.
You know, we've got a lot of volunteers who work really, really hard, and everybody's really focused on the National March right now, or they're really focused on the election year coming mm-hmm. up, or not, well, it's an off-election year, but voting coming
Absolutely.
Up in November. So we haven't made a lot of updates to the site because, you know, our resources are very thin, but for huge updates, they'll always be on that site.
Sounds Great. Good. Now, will you give all of our best to Willow?
I definitely will. I'm going to tell her to download the podcast of this so that she can start to build her ego up like you guys keep building mine.
Well, tell Excellent. Her. Well, we would love to have her. I know she's not the voice. I know she's the heart. But we would love to hear the voice and have her call into the
we
show.
We sure would.
Exactly. And she doesn't give herself enough credit. She's actually got a lot of great things to say.
We're calling this officially the Willow Show, and we just all talked about it.
I think you should.
Okay.
I think we
awesome.
Should.
Amy, you are doing such incredible work. Inspiration. You are an inspiration, and we want you to keep going. We want you to keep inspiring us and keep up the fight, because you really and truly are inspiring people all over the country. I mean, if there's ever a testament to how you can do a grassroots movement, you and Willow have provided it just for the world to see, and we're so proud to be in the same community as you.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Amy, all the best, and keep going, and keep up the fight.
Thanks.
Thanks, Amy. For that whole song, even though it sounds really fun, because there's one more story that I wanted to talk about, and it is a topic that is near and dear to our show and a topic we talk about often, and I realized maybe we should have talked about it at the beginning.
Is it Miss California again?
No, it's not.
Oh, thank
it's
goodness.
Not Miss California. It's not Perez Hilton, and I'm kind of violating the rule that we made about. Oh, you okay over there?
Yeah, I've got a cold.
We're almost done.
Okay.
We're almost done. Hold it together.
I'll go take my drugs.
Recent student suicides. This is a great way to end the show.
Oh, jeez. I thought we were going to always end on an up note.
I don't care. Recent student suicides have parents and advocates complaining that anti-bullying laws enacted in nearly every state are not being enforced and do not go far enough to identify and rid schools of chronic tormentors. 44 states expressly ban bullying, a legislative legacy of a rash of school shootings in the late 90s, yet few, if any, of those measures have identified children who excessively pick on their peers, and few offer any method for ensuring the policies are enforced, according to data compiled by the National Conferences of State Legislatures. So it's just, we want to remind people that anti-bullying legislation is one of the most important things out there. It is a cause that is near and dear to Becca, a cause that is near and dear to Ken, to all of our listeners. But part of that, you need some sort of action plan to identify those who are doing the bullying. Otherwise, it won't be enforceable. So that's really important to us. I just wanted to
put
that out there.
Did you get bullied in school, Ken?
Did I get bullied in school? Have we never talked about this? I never physically got pushed around. I never physically got pushed around, but I certainly I had my car spit on a lot in high school.
Your car was spit on?
My car was spit on.
Was that a message of some kind?
I think it was, and certainly was called faggot a lot. Yeah. That word, that's why, that is one of those words that I have a really difficult time of people using that casually and throwing around, because I find that to be one of the most violent words, and it resonates with certainly the what I experienced. But yeah, so that's that word. It will always be a hard one for me to hear. So no, I never got pushed around, but
you
want to
give me their names?
I would say during on the air, to be honest.
No,
nope. No, we will.
No,
not
we won't. But you can tell me off
do
the
that.
Air.
I'll tell you.
I got
later.
Some friends in Jersey,
folks. And trust me, they're still there. They're still there. I might have actually said this on the air previously, and I won't say his name, but one of my main bullyers is now a football coach at one of the local high schools and teaches a science of some sort. And holy cow, do I hope that he has reformed his ways. But I have really serious doubts about that. But hopefully he is reformed, and honestly, hopefully his son or daughter is gay. Ending on a positive
that's
note.
That's not like a curse. That
no, I don't mean it as
like
a curse.
A curse.
No, I just hope.
May you learn the joy of
may you
embracing.
Learn the joy of having a gay child. Because my assumption is truly, or that he is a gay niece or nephew, or that an uncle or an aunt came out, or his dad or mom came out. Because I do subscribe to the theory that how do you maintain bullying of gay people if you actually know someone who's gay? The percentage just goes down astronomically. So in my happy place, I have to believe that he didn't know anyone who was gay, because I don't understand how you could then turn around and not associate this with someone you know and love.
Right.
In your life. So that's why I certainly wasn't banishing him to having a gay son daughter. I think that would be amazing.
It kind of sounded like you were going to get your magic wand out.
No. So if you want to support a big event that we are doing, you would want to stroll on over to notesforlife.net. And I would really, really ask, I'm begging and pleading, I'm not above begging and pleading, for you, even if you can't make it, to buy a ticket. Just spend $25. There are instructions right there on the website where if you can't make it, how you sponsor a ticket, those instructions are right on the website. Because there are a ton of people who want to go, and there are local radio stations that are giving away some tickets so that we can get some promotion. But then we also don't want to lose the money in giving away the tickets. So if you could, if you're listening to this and you can't make it, if you can make it, we want you there. We want you there. You need to introduce yourself to Becca. You need to introduce yourself to me. I will introduce you to my parents. So if
aww,
you can make it,
we
go.
Have to get your prom date here too.
We have to. That's true. That's absolutely true.
She's the official prom date of
I know.
Show,
oh, okay. I got to get Mandy Filer. I want you at Notes for Life. But if you can't make it, Mandy Filer, no pressure. But if you can't make it and you're listening to this, we would love for you to just buy one ticket. If you want to buy 12 tickets, that's fine too, and support the event. So it's an amazing lineup of musical guests. And as we say, all the proceeds are split. As we say and as we will do, all the proceeds are being split between the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. So it's a bi-coastal, please support our event. Huge shout out and thank you to our guest tonight, Amy Balliot. We didn't even talk about her age, but let's just say she's young and inspiring. young and inspiring. It shows you don't need to be 50, 60 years old and, oh, I remember when.
Because 50 is old.
That's not the point. I see now that that'll be edited, except it's not going to be edited because I'm keeping everything in. Yeah, I screwed that one up. But I'm just saying that you don't. No, I wasn't saying 56 years old. I just think there perhaps is a I'm talking my way out of it. Stop laughing. There is a. Stop it. There is a way that you could perhaps perceive, oh, I'm 50 and 60 and I can make some change and only someone who's been around for a long time can make some change. Well, that's just not true. You can be 25. You know, the laughing doesn't help me right now in making my argument.
Sorry.
I'm just putting that out there. Just putting that out there. I think that's pretty much the point at which we'll end our little show when Becca gets the giggles. It's
oh my
time
God,
for us
I'm
to go.
Get out there,
folks.
Tear up,
whether you are 25, 26, 50, 60, whether you can come to Notes for Life, whether you can't come to Notes for Life and you're going to notesforlife.net to buy some tickets, get out there, folks. Go do amazing, amazing, amazing things. And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?